boils and ghouls. It's time to gather round us, horrifying Hunter, petrified Kristen, and devilish Dan. Crack open another cursed volume of tales from the crypt. This is Horrors from the Vault.
Welcome, kiddies, to Horrors from the Vault. My name is Horrifying Hunter, and I'll be one of the three shadowy figures leading you into the dark and haunted corridors of this very vault. Tonight, we're cracking open our second tome of Season 3 with Carrion Death, an episode all about how robbing a bank is really fucking cool, and you should totally try it with your friends. But before we can venture fully into the vault, let me introduce you to my co-host, Devilish Dan. A couple of months ago, you talked about your sweet raven friend who you met, who you were trying to, you know, become acclimated with you. If you could cyclically link up with a member of the avian species, would that raven be your guy, or would you take a buzzard like we see in this week's episode?
Not a buzzard. No, buzzard. So we get turkey buzzards over here on their way to a town that's close to us. They suck. They're gross and they're huge. It would definitely be either that raven, which hasn't come back yet this year, but it might still be too early, or one of the crows that hang out. Definitely one, a big black bird of some sort, but not a buzzard.
Preston, have you ever wanted to be connected mentally, spiritually, and all the other great ways to a bird? Do you wish you had a bird friend?
All right, get this shit. I've got a buzzard story for you, okay?
Oh, okay. This is even better.
So I'm driving. I'm fairly close to my house. I live out in a very rural area in Kentucky, so buzzards are not only – they're common. You know what I'm saying? They're common around here. And so I'm driving, and I'm not going slow, mind you, and there's a couple buzzards up the road. You know, there's something up there they're getting into. Disgusting, whatever. And so I'm thinking, you know, I'm going like 60-65, they'll definitely move, right? Like, as I continue to get closer. So they're not moving, so I decide I should maybe honk my horn. So I kind of give the burp, burp, you know, just thinking they'll move. Well, they fucking don't, and one ends up shattering my windshield, and I didn't have access to my vehicle for like 2 to 3 weeks because it was in the shop, and there was one less buzzard in the world, and I hate that son of a bitch. And there you have it.
Preston murdered a living thing, and he's more mad about it missing his car for a few days.
No.
Look, especially in the South, like, look, I can appreciate a white-tailed deer. I can appreciate all sorts of critters.
I wish no harm on them.
If you fuck up my car, then I'm going to talk as much shit about you that I can on my podcast.
Like, come on. Come on, you prick. I even gave a honk.
Did you pull over and grab that son of a bitch to cook him up for dinner later that night?
I put him in some burger. Yeah, boy. Not quite.
Preston, as someone who does not have a buzzard story, but has been on the receiving end of enjoying my meal in the middle of the road and someone almost hitting me, I just want to say on behalf of the buzzard population, fuck off, you insensitive prick.
Get fucked.
Look, sometimes you dialed in, you focused on that meal in front of you, and you don't notice until the hotel manager sneaks up from behind and tries to get you kicked out. It happens. We've all been there.
You're focused.
As far as birds, I want a toucan buddy because he knows how to make cereal that I've loved since childhood, and that would be great. Guys, we are here to talk about season 3, episode 2 of Tales from the Crypt. Of course, we're talking about Carrion Death, which aired on June 15th of 1991, a little bit of a twin episode to last week's. Guys, let's talk about it. Preston, but before we can get into the episode itself, let's go see you over at the House of Horror.
Of course, let's get into it, shall we? Moving up a couple years from the first comic we covered for season 3, we're up to June of 1953, and boys, today we are covering the cover story, and I feel like that is oddly uncommon. So there you go. We do have it. And I must say, I really like the art in this comic. You know, I kind of gave a mild spoiler the last episode on my, not necessarily my thoughts on this one, but kind of a brief explanation of it, in that it is so simple. And I don't mean that in a demeaning way whatsoever. I think it does some really interesting things, especially in the episode. We'll talk about that when we get there. But man, you know what? This week, I am definitely saying to check this comic out. I actually liked this one. And I could understand if somebody finds it possibly boring. I really liked this one. And like I said, I really liked the artwork to it. I'm a big Western fan. This kind of had a Western feel just in that desert. You almost could feel the humidity like in these images. Gosh, there was something else it really, almost like a Indiana Jones type thing. And again, that's just really strictly based on location. But our guy here is a desperate man in these images, let me tell you, and we'll tell you why when we get into the episode breakdown. And you can really feel it in these illustrated images throughout. So I say check this one out, man. It's pretty similar ultimately to the way the episode goes down. Obviously, the episode's very, very simple in nature as well. So yeah, those are kind of my general thoughts. Check this one out before the episode if you can.
The art's good, but it is another one of those super talky issues.
It is a lot of like inner monologue. For some reason, I thought it was kind of okay with this one, but it is definitely there.
Yeah, I would say borrow it and you know, check out the art, but you can pretty much skip all the dialogue. It doesn't give you that much insight into anything.
True.
It's almost like that's a problem with both of these, both of the versions of this story. We'll talk about it. I think I like these evenly, like you guys are saying. Like, definitely check out both, make your own preference, or maybe you'll just end up right where we are, because either way, I really don't think he can lose as far as this story in particular.
Yeah.
Dan, this is possibly the most excited you have been for top billing since we started the show.
Maybe. I don't know why. All right.
I wonder why.
Yeah, it's going to go pretty quick this week, so pay attention or you may miss it. So Stephen E. D'Souza is both our writer and director this week. According to IMDb, he has no directing credits, not even this episode for some reason. But his work as a writer is not the same story, as he's credited on both 48 Hours films, The Running Man, Die Hard and Die Hard 2, Judge Dredd, The Flintstones, and Beverly Hills Cop 3. Pretty much a two-hander this week as far as stars go. We have Kyle MacLachlan as Earl Raymond Diggs. He's a beloved actor that I have yet to hear anyone say anything bad about. As far as work, he's known for being one of David Lynch's muses, along with Laura Dern, who he actually starred with in Lynch's Blue Velvet. He was also the director's much lauded version of Dune from the 1980s. But is most well known for his role as Special Agent Dale Cooper in 30 episodes of Twin Peaks, its movie sequel prequel, Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, and finally a triple role as Agent Cooper, Mr. C, and the hapless/helpless Mr. Jackpots himself, Dougie Jones, in 18 episodes of Twin Peaks, The Return. Also, we have George Del Hoyo as the policeman. He's also in this week's episode and has a bunch of small TV roles, 115 episodes of something called Generations, 140 episodes of Days of Our Lives, and the Rango movie. But seriously, folks, Dale fucking Cooper is in this episode.
Actually, I have a question, Dan.
Yes.
when the return of mm-hmm. Twin Peaks got announced, did you just like lose your shit entirely?
No, I was excited, but we didn't ever have Showtime, and we didn't watch it.
Oh my God.
Live as it was airing. I waited till it came out on disc, and then we kind of binged the whole thing together. See, the thing is, Beth is not a Twin Peaks fan and is kind of forced to watch it at certain times. So, yeah, it's more of a me thing than a us thing, unfortunately. Mm. So it was going to be a lot of an ask. Listen, guys, Twin Peaks is not an easy watch of a show. I can understand why people might hate it, but goddamn, if it hits with you, it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Dan, I've heard everything I needed to hear in this week's Top Billing.
Cool.
Yeah, there was one objective with talking about this week's Top Billing, and you covered it, bud. I'm
Dale
proud of you.
Fucking Cooper.
Before we dive into the episode itself, let's talk about that opening Crypt Keeper segment. I love that he implies anal probing. you know, we talked about the Crypt Keeper being a horny little bastard of a Yoda man, and he's on full display here. He's prepping you. You can almost hear the soft, squishy noises coming from under the desk. And yeah, it's a lot to open up with. There's a little bit of role play BDSM going on here.
He's getting filthier and hornier just in these first two episodes, for
sure. He definitely is.
Yeah.
Giving me some T2 vibes, obviously, with the intro here.
A little bit. Yeah. There's a little bit of T2 in this episode, for sure. And, you know, right around the same time period in 91 as well. So who knows? Television Terror, the episode itself.
Move, bitch!
Horrors from the Vault listeners, do you guys like Grand Theft Auto? Surely you played at least one of the games during your lifetime. Shooting cops, robbing banks, handcuffing yourself to that dead cop while you pay for the street employee service package. Sponsored by Comcast. That's exactly what Earl Raymond Diggs is doing when we start this episode. Robbing a small western town from the late 1800s or somehow located on the Universal Hollywood backlot. He's being pursued by a motorcycle cop, what we hear at Horrors from the Vault called a pig on a hog. This is no normal cop, though. This is a cop that would make Jackie Chan or Robert Patrick proud. He collides full speed into the side of Diggs' stolen ride, causing the entire thing to explode. The cop refuses to give up and begins his full pursuit. Guys, what is going on with the small western town that we open up this episode with? Yeah. Like straight up like saloon, Red Dead Redemption, you know, classic western architecture. Maybe it's a tourist trap. I was willing to go with that, but I just thought it was very amusing that it wasn't a normal building. It was this classic western architecture.
I think you nailed it in that they were already filming in this desert on this ranch, and they were like, hey, they got that weird movie town over there. Why don't we start over there to show them leaving and, you know, prepping for the desert? Plus, there's that ominous sign, you know, 70-mile desert, stock up on water and gas.
God, I even thought, I'm so glad you guys hit on it, because seeing just the structures themselves, I'm like, man, did they put up some facades and like make a little town? And the answer I guarantee would be no. They're using already, in a, you know, like you said, Dan, an existing set. But yeah, that was an interesting choice. I'm not mad at it, but it was interesting.
It was an interesting choice. Just like it was an interesting choice to have Diggs' entire car explode by being sideswiped with a motorcycle. I thought that was a little amusing. Of course, you know, movie logic, explosions and everything like that. But, and of course, you've got to set up the story one way or the other. But it's so funny to watch this motorcycle accident that I see every single day here living in Orlando cause a massive fireball explosion.
It's weird that you mentioned GTA, because did you know that Kyle MacLachlan provided a voice for media mogul Donald Love in GTA 3?
I did not, Dan. What other facts can you let me know about Grand Theft Auto 3?
I bought a PS2 because I wanted to play that game. There you go.
Oh, okay. Hey. See, I was a Vice City is where I came.
Yeah.
So right after, Dan, what did you think about Carrion Terror? Let's go ahead. Let's talk about it because there's not a lot of episode to recap here. You got one of your favorite guys in the starring role, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to automatically give this 5 stars either.
No, I wanted to like this a lot more. I think it's very competent of an episode. There are a lot of strange, just kind of technical choices. There was a weird bullet thing in the initial car chase where the cops, well, first of all, he throws a cigarette out the window and I had to pause it because it looked like it bounced back almost, but it didn't. It actually went out the window, which means the window's down. But then the cop shoots and shatters the window, which would mean that the window's up. So that was strange. There's just like a lot of weird little technical stuff like that. It's good. It's an interesting watch. But yeah, in general, it's there's not a lot happens. It's maybe too long for what it is.
Preston, I'm going to go ahead and get my opinion out there because I've alluded to it several times and I want to know where you're sitting finally. I think there's way too much dialogue in this episode. I think characters are constantly talking to themselves when I get it. Like you're just trying to stay awake and alive out there in the desert. But it feels like every single action, every single step that's taken is being narrated. And I really didn't like that about this. I just wish we had moments of silence where you just kind of establish things. In fact, I would almost like to see this episode as a pretty close to silent episode, minus just a couple of choice lines of dialogue a la, I guess I got Mad Max in the brain, right? A little bit of Fury Road. But I way too talky for me personally.
You are so right. For God's sakes, it takes place in the desert. You know, we have two characters and really for a good portion of the episode, they're individuals, chasing each other. So they're not even together. And so, I think this would have been much more effective just being quiet and letting these performers act. You know what I mean? Because obviously, they're both good, but particularly one of them is absolutely fantastic actor. Kind of like Dan was saying, like I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. I lean more positive. I think the thing that I kept waiting on for this episode, and I did read the comic beforehand, so it's kind of hard to put words to, but like I kept feeling like, man, this feels like it could end up being like a really smart episode and some really like, I don't want to say shocking, but some really cool reveal at the end, like, I don't know, tying all this together. And it just didn't end up quite being as smart as I wanted it to be. And I don't even mean that as insulting as it sounds. I don't know. It was fine. I was expecting a little more. I will say that much.
Yeah. I'll agree with it being too talky, except for at a certain point near the end when he's really kind of losing his mind and he goes full Ash Williams and even looks like Ash Williams from The Evil Dead. That's where I appreciated, you know, the little too much of a dialogue where he's doing everything he can. He's desperate. He's spinning out. We'll get to that point.
And this is one of my notes because I saw the exact same thing you did, Dan. We're looking in that blue shirt.
Yep.
I think if you're going to do the comedic stuff, this is a fine performance, but somebody who's a great comedic actor like Bruce Campbell could have really elevated this.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Just jumping up and down. Who's laughing now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I wanted to see his descent into madness a little bit more. And yes, I get it. That's not realistic, but it's not the most realistic episode to begin with. I kind of wish that they went a little bit more humorous with it. I know this is considered a fan favorite episode because it's a little bit more serious and, you know, it's got a certain feeling to it, but I wish they went one direction or the other. I think this episode could have been a lot funnier, or they could have really just doubled down on the artistic angle of this that I think you were looking for, Preston.
Yes, that was very well put, because that's really the way I feel about it.
I guess my other problem too is that they're very antagonistic against each other, but not when they're together. It's like usually when they're apart, they're talking more shit and getting, you know, some one-liners in. And then when they're together, they don't interact that much besides fighting.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right.
It's such an interesting relationship because you could have doubled down on the, oh crap. It was an episode we talked about forever ago where we were talking about how they respect each other. Oh, it was actually, I think, Cutting Cards, where you've got those
cards, yeah.
Yeah, you've got those two enemies, but they're the only people in the world that understand each other. And that's what makes their relationship so interesting. This feels almost more like Xbox Live chat with the boys. You know, there's not that relationship there. And I think like you could have really elevated it with just a couple more lines of dialogue or even just a little bit of setup where maybe this was the cop that, put him behind bars in the first place or, you know, something like that. It would have elevated their relationship and made things a little bit more tense during the confrontations.
Yeah. Just a couple lines of exposition somewhere, which they already did with the radio. So they could have easily put something else in.
Hunter's got me thinking of those Halo 3 lobby days. Oof, dangerous times.
And actually, I am pulling up Preston's voice memo clips from 2007 right now.
Oh,
I am on the show.
Preston. Time to get fucking canceled. I do want to throw this out there as a plus from the episode, and this is a small moment, but obviously when I'm sorry, Dan, his name is Kyle McLaughlin, is that right?
Yep.
Okay, so when Kyle McLaughlin is, you know, brandishing, if you will, his weapon that he's made to, or his axe of sorts to get off, you know, out of the handcuffs. Oh my God, that cut that he does on his hand, like I felt that for some, I don't know what it was, but maybe it's because it wasn't over the top, insanely grotesque. Like we're used to seeing these insane, like blood squirts and cutting hands off and stuff in this show. So when it's like a realistic kind of injury like that, it hurts even more. So I thought they did a good job with that.
Yeah, good makeup effect.
Yeah.
There's a vulture following the men. And not the Beatles version of those buzzards from Walt Disney's The Jungle Book. No, this appears to be some sort of Pokemon that our friend Hongo Cop, that buzzard is pointing where Diggs is going. And the two men eventually find each other in an abandoned shack and duke it out, with Diggs getting off the fatal shot. But unfortunately, after the cop handcuffs the two men and swallows the key, Diggs is forced to haul the bacon around the desert, making its trek the 6 miles to Mexico, being watched by the vulture the whole time. And Dan, I'm sure you noticed, being the quote guy, we get a second women can't live joke in like back-to-back episodes. And it was like, I noticed it on the first watch through and I was like, dude, that's weird. I wonder if that's a theme we can expect from the next one.
Women can't live with them. Can't fit more than one in the trunk at a time.
Right.
I hope it's a running joke through season three where we get a woman and then super misogynistic quote after that every episode.
I would take a male equivalent on a couple of the episodes. I want to
hear.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought that was very interesting that, you know, totally different script writers. They both throw in the same gag with, you know, the little bit of spin to fit the situation.
Men can't live with them and their dicks fall off and then you can't fuck them anymore. I don't know.
That's what the skeleton from the end of last week's episode said about the computer. Preston, were you chiming in here with something?
Oh, no. I'm just laughing along.
So surprisingly, the two guys end up making it to the final hill before they reach the border. So credit to Diggs here. He is trekking through the desert, hauling that big ass heavy body, which as someone who gets out of breath, bringing out these 75-pound box of Christmas ornaments every year out of the attic. Look, he's got my kudos. See, Diggs, this is his final thing, though. He can't support the weight of the cop uphill. So he ends up making an axe out of some wood and the cop's badge, and he aims very carefully because he knows he's still dehydrated. He's on the verge of death. You know, his stomach is eating itself, and he ends up chopping into his own hand. And this scene right here gives the whole episode a boost because I have, you know, more issues with this one. It's kind of like a, this is technically sound, but I don't like some of this. So it's kind of middle of the road again. But I think the final 2 minutes make up for it, because hand trauma, and especially somebody who snapped his wrist last year, right before Cars from the Vault started, seeing some dude get his hand ripped off like that by handcuffs, and knowing the weight of the police officer is doing that. It's not even degloving, it's pulling the arm off. It's gruesome, and it got me in my feelings. Hand trauma is already a thing. I mean, I'm thinking of Green Room, you know, all of that sort of stuff. Green Room's fucking brute, which my 4K will be here next week. Can't wait. But anyways, yeah, hand trauma does it for me. And yeah, at first I was like, oh man, I wish we saw a little bit more of that. But then the vulture gets his final kill right after this. So it's like, yeah, we get a nice, squishy, gruesome ending at the end of this plotting, dialogue heavy episode.
Plotting's a good word for it. He literally plods along the desert, and the episode plods along as we watch it.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, he ends up eyeless, like that Slipknot song off the debut record. And that is the end of Mr. Diggs. And yeah, if you feel like this episode was short, there's only so many ways I can say wandering through the desert, you know?
Yeah.
Moses, this is not.
I know. I mean, yeah, seriously, you know, I found myself, you know, watching this episode and reading the comic, you know, almost going, you know, damn, you know, with some of this stuff, what the hell am I / we gonna say about this? And, you know, I don't know how we're going to end up feeling about the episode overall, but like, I don't even mean that as a negative. It's just, it just takes place in the desert with these two dudes chasing each other. I mean, and that's that. Like,
Preston, we're going to hit the closing Crypt Keeper moment, and then I'll let you go ahead and lay it out there. And,
oh yeah, of course, of course,
because you're right on there, and I know you want to talk about it. So, we get a Cook'em Dano joke here. Of course they were going to do it. I still laughed every time, and I like that he shows up in the costume still at the end, so you know he's comfortable. He's just riding it out in that cop uniform.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I'm here for it.
Yeah, another outfit. You know, we always love when they put him in an outfit.
Mm-hmm. In an outfit.
I do want to see him ride the motorcycle. Dude, though. I'm a bit
bummed
we didn't see that.
Was just about to say that. Yes, we have to see Crypty, you know, revving that bad boy up. That's what I want to see.
Wild Hog style.
You know how the bikers have like the signal that they give to other bikers out on the road. I want to see Crypty do that. You know, give the sign.
I love it. He's pulling up to his local VFW. He's he loves going to the flea shop and buying a new knife every week at the flea market. He's a good man deep down. Look, no one cared when he came back, and I think it's time we show him some respect.
That's right.
Preston, speaking of respect, let's go ahead and pay our last respects. You were right there on the verge. Normally I would alternate, but go ahead and get those final thoughts out. Where are you sitting on Carrion Death?
Carrion Death. Well, I've said pretty much all I need to say, I feel like, essentially. Man, I think I'm going to go with a 3.0. out of 5 on this one. As I kind of indicated through the episode, I generally liked what they did. I was wanting something, I think, a little more elevated. And I don't know if I'm being unfair because Kyle MacLachlan does lead this episode. Maybe I'm wanting something a little, you know, Twin Peaks-esque, if you will. But, you know, overall, I think it's a fine episode. Unfortunately for the, not that I'm going to keep a tally of this for the second week in a row, probably not going to make my personal compilation of episodes to watch. And so for that reason, it kind of lands somewhere in the middle, which, you know, I lean a little more positive with the 3.0.
I like it. Dan, what about you, bud?
Preston acting like he's seen one episode of Twin Peaks. He ain't seen shit.
Hey, if anything, I know that's some elevated shit.
It's elevated, but it's also campy as shit, too, which is great. And that's kind of what I wanted from this episode. I wanted, like you said, one way or the other, a little more elevated or a little more into the camp.
True.
And I probably would be giving this 2 severed fingers if it weren't for the last kind of 5-10 minutes where it gets a little more, you know, unhinged and off the wall, which I enjoy. Good performance. And like I said earlier, I wish I liked this episode more because it does have one of my favorite actors in it. But yeah, I'll give it a 2.5 severed thumbs up.
All right. Preston, I think I'm going to join you there with 3. That's exactly where I'm sitting. I like it a little bit more than last week's episode, which I gave a 2.5. So using that logic, a 3 feels right for this one. I definitely have my problems with it, and I wish I liked this episode more, like Dan said, and I still stand by what I said earlier. I wish they would have gone a funnier direction with this, or Dan, you just said elevated. I think that's the right word. Yeah, a 3 feels right for me. So give me your fingers. I need 1 from Preston and 2 from Dan.
Hey.
All right. Thank you guys for listening to Horrors from the Vault. We really appreciate you being here. Dan, where can folks keep up with Horrors from the Vault?
Horror Vault Pod, all the social networks you're used to. Send us a tweet, send us a Insta message, whatever those are called. Send us an email at horrorvaultpod@gmail.com. Or maybe you just want to check out my shit. If you want to check out my shit, Red Right Dan, all the socials. If you want to look at Letterboxd and what I've been watching, Daniel P. Sims. That's it. Get it out of here.
Beautiful, beautiful. Preston, I know you be logging them movies on Letterboxd.
Let's go. You know what I'm doing. Yes, at Preston967 on Letterboxd. Loving the kind of little film niche community we've got going on over there. So join the club. Yeah, at Preston967 once again, and you'll find these fine gents under my followers and followees, if you will. At Preston967 also on Twitter, Preston Green on Facebook. And right here, Horrors from the Vault. Good things are happening.
Love it, love it. If you want to keep up with me, the best place to do so is, of course, right here on Horrors from the Vault. But you can also find me on Letterboxd and Instagram at Discount Vincent Price. Nothing too crazy going on in my neck of the woods right now. I'm going to Spookala pretty soon. Ooh. So if you want to keep up with that, I guess follow me on Instagram. I'll be posting some stories and stuff. Besides that, of course, you can find me on all the podcasts, Grim Grinning Hosts. We just uploaded a bunch of episodes. You can listen to a recent more news-focused episode, HHN, Disney, that sort of thing. But you can also go and listen to us talk about 20 things we love about Jaws the Ride that is also available for you, so go check it out. I'd really appreciate it. You can also find me on Disorder, Every Disney Film, and The Catacombs of Halloween Horror Nights. But for now, I want to thank you guys for listening to Horrors from the Vault once again. Tune in next week where we're talking about a hot new episode from 33 years ago. You're gonna love it. It's gonna be great. Until then, Crypt Keeper, take off the cop uniform. Pull off them shades. Stop beating it under the table. And play that bass.
Leave the boots on. Fright!